When's the next exam? Quiz? Enough of these exams. Let's move on. Week 12, is that awesome? Skeletal muscular disorders. Okay, what's gout? Anybody had a patient with gout? You had what?
I had a kid in my class with
a DBC. You had a person in your class?
Young kid.
Really? Very unusual. A young kid with gout. Tell us about it.
So I'm of Asian descent. And he had it in his family. And I'm not sure if this is true, but I think bullying isn't worse.
I'm not aware that it has any ethnic preference, but
he came in and he was on crutches and he was all wrapped up and he was like, really, really careful yesterday.
It's very painful.
He was like, oh, yeah, I have gout. I'm like, wait, what? Like, I thought old people only get that.
Yeah,
like,
I'm with you.
And he was like, no, I'm just like, runs in my family and I have gout. And so I was like, how do you get rid of it? And he's like, you have to drink a lot of water.
Yeah. Exactly. I've never seen it in a child.
He's young. He was like...
Well, I mean, you know...
He's young. Yeah.
I've never seen it in a young person. Never. Interesting. Gout is a metabolic disorder characterized by acute arthritis triggered by crystallization of urates within the joints. Okay. So what it is urate deposits in the synovial joints causing inflammation. So it's like uric acid crystals get into the joints and cause inflammation or gouty arthritis. Deposits in the subcutaneous tissues and cause the formation of small white nodules. And deposits in the kidneys cause kidney stones. So you're kind of talking about the same thing. But when those uric deposits happen in the joints, it's gout. It occurs when there is no longer a balance between the production and excretion of uric acid. Okay? So we have a buildup of uric acid, hyperuricemia. Okay? Too much uric acid in the blood. Okay? Forms from the under excretion of the kidneys. So it's from going into the blood rather than being excreted through the kidneys as it's supposed to. And there are different gout. Did your friend say that he it's a continuous chronic problem?
He says he gets it frequently.
Tradition. I don't know how he presents as a young person, but in the individuals I've seen, the adult population, yeah, it presents as a chronic.
Yeah, he said he's had it before, and he has it by now.
Wow. Yeah, a chronic problem relieved by rest and drinking lots of water, basically flushing out the stones. There are acute inflammatory times of inflammation that you demonstrated about, where the joints are swollen, painful, and tender, and other times when people don't have this imbalance, and they do fine. What are the wives' tales about gout? When you think of gout, what do you think of? Rich fat men, right? Rich fat white men. Not necessarily true. Right. It used to be thought of as a disease of wealthy people. Probably had something to do with protein intake, in all honesty. But only the wealthy could have protein. And too much protein, you can think, may lead to some problems. That's my guess. But anyway, yes?
When I was in the OR, a nurse was saying that she had gout on her ankle, and she couldn't come to work because she couldn't walk through her ankle. And she was saying because she drinks a lot of wine, and there's a lot of uric acid in wine, or something that has to do with that.
Maybe. Is there a lot of uric acid in wine? I honestly don't know.
Or is it purines or
purines? Purines in wine? If that was the case, half of Sonoma County would have gout. You know? We'd have an epidemic, at least where I live. Right? We actually live in Sonoma, right? I mean, talk about wine drinkers. Jeez. I've never heard that. It may be true. I don't know. So that's gout, which is kind of interesting. Okay? Kind of. Osteomalacia is it's rickets, okay? Adult rickets. Rickets you often see them in children. Calcium deficiencies, right? Metabolic bone disorder characterized by inadequate or delayed mineralization of the bone matrix. So the bone becomes spongy and soft. Osteoid is produced but not mineralized, so the bone is there, but it's soft. There's no calcium to give it the strength. It can lead to gross deformations of the long bone, spine, pelvis, and skull. Main causes are insufficient calcium absorption due to lack of calcium intake or vitamin D deficiency. So remember, we have to have vitamin D in order to facilitate the uptake of calcium. So you need them both. So it could happen if you don't have enough vitamin D to initiate the uptake of calcium into the body, or you could simply be deficient in calcium. Muscle fatigue, weakness, bone pain, tenderness, pathologic fractures, all right, can all occur from this disorder. Muscular dystrophy. Anybody know about anything about muscular dystrophy? Okay. Muscular dystrophy? Curious kids, yeah. MD is a group of inherited muscular diseases. It's a group of diseases that cause progressive muscle degeneration and wasting. There are different types. They relate to genetic patterns of transition, the muscles involved, and the rate of disease prognosis. Duchenne's muscular dystrophy is the most common form, and that's kind of what we think of when we think of Jerry's kids. It's inherited by male children from their mother. All right, it's an X-linked recessive gene on the X chromosome, obviously. Manifestation begin in early childhood, late teens, early adulthood, and continue with progressive muscle weakness leading to death, generally from respiration causes or cardiac muscle involvement. Okay, what else? All forms exhibit muscle weakness. Mental retardation can also occur. Cardiac and endocrine abnormalities are not unusual. Okay, muscular dystrophy. I don't want to talk about this, spondylolisthesis. I've never seen it in practice. So we don't get to talk. Is that okay? Okay. I want to leave it to things that are important to you. Reactive arthritis. This is a little different, okay? Acute, non-purulent, inflammatory arthritis. Believed to be a response to an exposure to certain types of bacteria. Okay? It's kind of interesting. Initial manifestations in men is non-bacterial arthritis, fatigue, malaise, fever, weight loss, conjunctivitis. Interesting, huh? Not things you would normally associate with arthritis. Weight-bearing joints are also affected. Other manifestations include tendonitis, fasciitis, back pain. Okay. Interesting. Usually it's treated symptomatically and relieved with NSAIDs. Nursing role is just education. What about lupus? See, reactive arthritis. Any experience with lupus? Anybody have patients with lupus? Anything about lupus? Thought to be autoimmune. It's a chronic inflammatory disease involving connective tissues. Okay? So now think about connective tissues. Affects all body systems, can be mild or quickly become fatal. The exact etiology is unknown. We don't know what causes it. We may think lupus may be genetic, environmental, may even be hormonal. There are a number of drugs whose side effects mimic lupus. Disordered T cell functions cause hyperactive B cells that results in the production of antibodies against normal components such as nucleic acids, coagulation proteins, lymphocytes, and platelets. Kind of a interesting disease. The antibodies bind with their target tissue to form immune complexes. And these are deposited in the connective tissues of blood, lymph, and other tissues. And the inflammation of local tissues, logically, is the result. Fever, anorexia, and malaise. Skin manifestations are a photosensitivity, and this is where you get that red butterfly rash across the cheeks and bones. You see the lupus. You can hear about this butterfly rash. Butterfly rash, and you're going to know it's lupus, or could likely lupus. What else have we got here? More complexes. Polyarthritis. This is a tissue disorder. Inflammation of the muscle fibers. What about Lyme disease? Anybody have any experience with Lyme? Good.
My mom.
Melissa, did she really? Tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, I was like younger, but she got it from Christmas trees in Sonoma. They got across the street, and she noticed all of these black bugs all over the presents the next day, and there was like hundreds of them. And so she got it really bad. She went to the doctor, she was really concerned, and the doctor was like, oh no, you don't have any bites or anything, you're fine. And then like 6 months later, like, she like felt like she was going crazy. She said like, yeah. She was like hallucinating in her head and all this stuff, and like she had just had a newborn and she was just all scared, and she came back Lyme disease, and she like had to have the home nurse come and take care of her for a few years.
Yeah, a couple of years.
Yeah, because she had antibiotics for like 3 years, 4 years maybe.
Glad she lived. Wow. Were those black bugs ticks? Do we know?
Mm-hmm.
They were ticks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she tried to, like, capture them to take a sample.
Yeah.
Like, show, but...
Smart.
Yeah, but the doctor just said that, oh, you know, just send her home. So, it was the same thing.
But today she would have gone to a different doctor, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because you would have been involved.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't have happened, right? No. Right. Okay. Lyme disease is an inflammatory disorder caused by a spirochete, which is transmitted primarily by ticks. It's most commonly reported tick-borne illness in the U.S. Okay, ticks carry Lyme disease more than anything else. Do you know of anything else ticks carry? I only know that. Oh, that's right. Well, anyway, they carry more Lyme disease these days. Okay. Welcome back. Thank you. Incubation period. It's up to 30 days. Your mom's incubation. Was she feeling bad before she went to the doctor a second time?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she must have been.
The first time, no, she was just scared that, you know, she
something happened.
But, like, quickly after that, she just started feeling like she had the flu. And she was just saying how mom said something, she missed work or anything. But she said that she was just really fatigued and stuff. And then it just started getting worse. And then started hallucinating. And, yeah.
Well, she's pretty consistent. Normally, symptoms don't show for 30 days. You can have asymptomatic for that long. Then it spreads by it's spread by lymph or blood to other sites, nodes, organs. Inflammatory joint changes resembling rheumatoid arthritis, which could be an incorrect diagnosis of Lyme. Then flu-like symptoms appear. Rash followed by weeks or months later with neurologic symptoms. Okay, facial palsy, nerve palsy, meningitis. So you can see it's a rather difficult thing to diagnose, right? Because like 30 days, the symptoms aren't present for 30 days, and then they're kind of vague flu, and then they get all sorts of weird things. Yes?
My brother was diagnosed after 10 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And she had chronic problems.
Wow, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Arthritis, meningitis, encephalitis, which is probably something that your mom has. Neuropathies, myocarditis, heart block, and yeah, antibiotics.
There's a really fascinating documentary that just came out about Lyme disease, how
really?
People aren't getting diagnosed with it.
Well, you can understand why.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very complex diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. And it's like,
but your mother was so right to have those ticks if they had only analyzed them.
I know.
It's a spicy.
Snow muscle. That's getting rid of the snow. Back like 20 years ago, it wasn't.
Yeah.
The hospitals that are, the doctors that are.
There's so much Lyme disease.
Yeah.
Now.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How
many people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There is. Like, that's the document I'm talking about, the East Coast, and like how, even though they have all these cases, they're not diagnosing these people, they're just sending
here? Them. Here? Or period?
In the, on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you know, okay? 30-day incubation and then flu-like. What does that mean, you know? Really, all sorts of not definitive manifestations at all. So it's very difficult. Of course, if you're... Right. Then if it has a spire key, you know what you're doing, which your mom brilliantly did, and it didn't work.
Well, she didn't take the one. She didn't know she got bit, right?
No, well, she went to the doctor, and they didn't find anything.
Like, let's say they were small things, they were doing things.
Yeah.
Not the bigger ones, but the dogs get off. It's painful. It'd be hard for that to tell me.
Well, Melissa's mom had a bite, obviously, and didn't feel it, so obviously it's got to happen. Because I'm with you, you know, it's been pretty traumatic every time I've had a bite. But apparently it doesn't necessarily have to be. So, yeah, something interesting to watch for. And I think we do see it in the hospital once in a while, and it's fascinating. And to watch the whole process of the differential diagnosis of Lyme. Osteomyelitis, an infection of the bone. Okay. So often from a penetrating wound. And did we talk about who in the hospital is susceptible to osteomyelitis? Yeah. Right. Bacteria lodge, multiply in the bone. Phagocytes cannot fight the infection when they go downhill. Caused by pathogens. Chemogenesis osteomyelitis is caused by pathogens in the blood, so it doesn't have to be necessarily an external trauma. It can be through the blood, which is interesting. And it can be from a contagious infection as well. So know that there are infections of the bone, osteomyelitis. Risk factors are impaired physical mobility, obviously. You've talked quite a bit about arthritis in general, right? Yes? Septic arthritis? Okay, let's talk about septic arthritis. Can develop if in joint space is invaded by a pathogen. Okay. Primary risk factors are persistent bacteremia. Bacteremia is bacteria in the blood, right? Which is a problem because if somebody goes septic, they have bacteria in their blood, and septic arthritis is often an outcome. So with persistent bacteremia and previous joint damage, impaired mobility, and loss of skin integrity, you have someone that's really ripe for septic arthritis. There's direct contamination, which results in septic arthritis as well. And how do you think someone could have direct contamination into the bone that results in septic arthritis? Pardon me? A break or fracture? Think about more it being iatrogenic. Yeah, like a lumbar puncture or arthroscopic surgery. Okay, total joint replacements. So this can be a complication of some interventions. So this is arthroscopic bone surgery, which you saw, right? Yeah, you saw. Can you think about that? Yeah. That would make sense, wouldn't it? A lot of exposure. Yeah. Potential, right. So you see the exposure right to the... As you were saying, it was all... You explained it as being all over, right? Yeah. All right, so you have to be extremely careful. Granted, the patient is put on antibiotics post-surgically, but again, if you're having a fragile patient in any way... Certainly lead to a septic arthritis, which is kind of interesting. We talked about bone tumors a little bit. We talked about cancer. They can be primary, not primary bone tumors, or metastatic, meaning primary, you remember, the tumor happening in that site first, or be metastatic, having metastasized to that site, thereby a secondary tumor. They can be benign. You can have benign bone tumors as well as malignant. Prostate, thyroid, lung, kidney, and breast commonly metastasize to the bone. And it's extremely painful. The cancers of the bone is extremely, extremely painful. Now, non-malignant cancers, primary tumors, mass, da da da. We know all about that. Don't they talk about non-malignant cancers? They're primary tumors that cause osteomyelitis, which weakens the bone and causes fractures. Also, there's a disease called Paget's disease. Have you heard of that? Pompatho, remember, with the bone tumors, right? And they are not cancerous, okay, but they cause gross deformities. And they start out in adolescence and childhood, right? And go into adulthood. What else? Let's talk about scleroderma or systemic sclerosis. This is rather interesting. Anybody have any experience with scleroderma? Patients are fascinating. Their skin is very fibrous, very taut, and very dry and kind of snake-like. Okay? It's quite an unpleasant disease. Scleroderma means hardening of the skin. It's a chronic disease in which excessive collagen tissue is deposited in the skin and the internal organs. Okay? Early symptoms are you see functional and structural abnormalities of the small arteries that lead to progressive vessel obstruction. Etiology is unknown. There's some thoughts that it's genetic, environmental factors possibly. Initial manifestations include thickening, swelling of the skin. Skin begins to atrophy, becomes taut, shiny, hyperpigmented sometimes. Sometimes there's calcium deposits that you can even see rising out of the skin, little calcium crystals, which is really odd, actually protruding from the skin. Visceral symptoms include dysphagia, pericarditis, dysrhythmias, diarrhea, constipation. Remember, this is all over the body, the system. So you see all over. Scleroderma. We're not going to do Sjogren's syndrome. Cross that right up. Fibromyalgia. Anybody have any experience with fibromyalgia? What is it? It's fibromyalgia. Kind of pain in the muscle, right? Yeah? We don't know a heck of a lot about fibromyalgia.
Different
points you have to hit.
Or like where it hurts, and that's where the pain starts to
exist. Oh, because specific areas of pain? I don't know if there are. Are there actually specific areas where pain comes? I'll tell you what I got on it. It's a rheumatoid syndrome characterized by muscles, pain, stiffness, right? Disordered central pain, progressing increasingly shown to is central to fibromyalgia, okay, so it's progressive. Gradual onset, aching muscle. I haven't read anything about points, specific points. You know something about that? What's the specific point she's talking about? Oh, did you? Oh, tell me, because I this.
Was like 8 years
old. Oh, okay.
So diagnosis, okay. Instead of just saying I have muscle pain, they identify.
Okay, now we're making sense. 5 out of 20, okay. Okay. Good, but it's not like a progressive, you get it here first, because that wasn't my understanding of the disorder. Got it. That makes much more sense. Yeah, because I understood to be much more diverse than just 5 points.
No, there's a lot.
Oh, yeah, okay, good. All right, you're probably talking about diagnosis, that makes sense. Muscle stiffness, painful menstrual periods, problems thinking and memory. Okay, problem manager. Therapeutic measures include structure, exercise, stretching, immersive care, supportive. This is a disease we hear quite a bit about. Yeah. Ashley, what do you think about that?
Some people think that it's like a made-up, or whatever, that's because we don't really know what...
And because it's a middle-aged woman gripe.
Right. Right, yeah. Commercials and meds now to treat it.
Yeah.
You can figure out why they just kind of think that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of a popular disease right now. Maybe there's some mixed diagnosis, very possible. Because it's kind of a vague disease, we don't know much about it. And you wake up with stiff, aching muscles. Well, you know, the older I get, the more I get that too. I'm the gallbladder. So whereas the diagnosis, maybe the five specific points, or if they're more structured diagnoses. I think it's some things we're going to have to watch. I think it's just kind of a popular thing right now. Let's see. Are there misdiagnoses going on right now? Could be. Probably. We'll see. So keep an eye on fibromyalgia as you go through your career. Spinal deformities. Okay. What's scoliosis? Sideways. Sideways curvature, right? S-shaped curvature. Yes. You bend, if you lean over, you can see if the spine is straight or curved, yeah. It's very, you can see it if you know what you're looking for. What's kyphosis? Right, you know that from Jarrah, right? What's lordosis? It's not on here. Who gets lordosis? When you're pregnant. Yes, May. Tell us about that, particularly short pregnant women. No, because you have trouble with your center of gravity, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fell a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's why I didn't want to talk about the whole ankle thing that
happened to me. You have a pregnant ankle story too, huh? You should get together with the lady from the morning class. Pregnant women do a lot, particularly if you're short, because you don't have the counter. Like me, I've got all this much of my body that's going to be counterweight. I can still stand up. But someone that stops right here has the same size baby in them, you know, and they're not going to be as well balanced. Like May, right? There's probably a foot between May and I. Yet we probably gave birth to the same size babies. I think I had an easier time in that respect, right? Yeah, definitely. And I didn't fall at all. I was pregnant. Okay. So you get it. So they compensate by putting their back to compensate for the weight here. Common stature of pregnant ladies. And scoliosis is to the side, kyphocus, you learned, right? Older people. Spinal deformities. Let's talk a little bit about that. Scoliosis of curvature is classified as postural, or when the small curve connects with bending or structure. People commonly have one shoulder higher than the other with scoliosis. It becomes a real problem when we're putting in spinal anesthesia, because the spines could be a real problem. So know that with them. Kyphosis, an excessive angulation of the normal posture curve of the thoracic spine. It can be postural or structural. And you know about that. It often is related to osteoporosis. How about low back pain? Anybody know about that yet? Oh, yeah. Brittany, anybody else? Low back pain yet? Yeah. Great. What do you attribute it to up there?
Yeah. Standing a lot. Nursing standing a lot. And when I had my son, it was almost unbearable, the pain that when I was pregnant of, like,
standing
on your nerves.
Yeah. I can do that. How about you guys?
Just a lot of working, manual labor, since I was a kid. And I got caught in the way once. Where it crashed and kind of twisted my back also.
Really? Interesting. Yeah. System damage.
Yeah, so I've been going to chiropractor for a while.
Be really careful as a nurse with that previous damage, especially as a man, because you know you're going to be asked to do a lot more lifting. As much as we're not going to do that to our male colleagues, right? Two of us are stronger than him, right? So we're not going to do that, because that is really rude to you. So, but it's going to happen. So be strong. Say you've got a bad back. Yes.
I always thought, okay, I'll be fine as long as I raise the bed up, but when you're working with someone and they're really short, you go by what they do, and so that's when I make the problem. Like, I have to ask for that every time, because most of, like, the assistants that I'm working at the moment, they're short, and so they can only go up to what they can go up to, and so I'm like...
Well, look at the difference between... Look at the difference in this class.
Yeah. Like, if we were working together, we'd go by what her height was.
Right. Yeah, you're better, but you can't reach. Right, and no, that's probably true, because she can't even reach as tall as she needs the bed to go. You can't, you're worthless.
It makes sense.
Yeah. No, you know what I mean. Because you can't help her if she puts the bed up here. You can't reach across. So, yeah, you should try to find a helper that's about your size. It's a problem I'm very familiar with. And those of us who are tall generally are outnumbered by those who are shorter, and we end up with the back problems. And we, yeah, because I am very conscious about raising the bed up too, but when I'm working with, you know, shorter ladies, what are you going to do? They can't reach. So you're right, you have to accommodate your partners.
It's fun. Yes.
Yeah, bring a stool. There you go. And as long as you don't ask the guy, just because he's a guy, right? Mm-hmm. He's got low back problems too. There are several reasons, causes for back pain. Compression, irritation of sensory nerves, referred pain, right? Pain can refer to the buttocks, legs, all sorts of muscle spasms, all sorts of wonderful pain that we get in our back that we're going to try to avoid as nurses, right? Right. And pain is not limited to tall people at all. Please, no. Be careful no matter how tall you are. Foot disorders. I happen to really enjoy assessing feet because you can learn so much from a foot. I start my head to toe with the feet. I do a toe to head. Because a couple reasons. I think it's less invasive to start touching someone's toes than to start maybe at their chest or at their face. So I kind of work my way up to areas of intimacy maybe. And you can learn a heck of a lot from the feet. You can learn about the cardiac. You can learn about the vascular system. You have some idea of the respiratory system because you can see about the blood flow and the oxygenation. You can tell about strength, muscle strength. You can tell about coordination. There's a heck of a lot you can see from feet. So please, in your assessment, don't disregard the feet. You're going to deal with muscle strength. A lot can be seen by the feet. But you're also going to run into some weird things that you have no idea what they are. So let's review a couple of those. Hallux valgus, which is hammer toes, or Morton's neuromas, are all common things you'll see in the feet. The hallux valgus is, or a bunion. Okay? Your grandmothers have bunions? And your patient had bunions? Did they? Mm-hmm. Tell us about them.
Her. Horrible, I guess.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it's enlargement of the lateral displacement of the first metatarsal. Okay. Chronic pressure against the great toe causes a connective tissue in the sole of the foot to lengthen, so that the stabilization action of the great toe is gradually lost. In severe cases, it can lead to hammer toe, which is when the toe comes up. Manifestations are pain, limited range of movement, and crepitus. Okay, it's kind of interesting. Then you have hammer toe, which is dorsal flexion of the first phalanx, plantar flexion of the second and third. Okay, so that's a deformity you'll see. Then there's Morton's neuroma, a tumor-like mass within the neurovascular bundle of the intermetatarsal spaces. And this is caused by repeat compression of toes, like in the 1950s when they wore those shoes that were like this. Right? We used to see a lot of them. Maybe all those ladies with the really cool shoes have died out. But when I started practicing, we used to see a lot of this Morton's neuroma. Very interesting. Because they would compress their toes into those very, very pointy high heels. And after years of that, they'd end up with tumor-like masses. It's very, very interesting. care of a patient with common foot disorders is basically relieving pain. Sometimes a structural disorder is bad enough to cause surgery, but generally we just use corrective shoes and worry about chronic pain. That's about it. Okay? It's kind of fun. Osteoporosis, loss of bone mass. We talked a little bit about osteo. You learned about osteoenduro, right? Mm-hmm. Loss of bone mass, calcium deficiencies. Okay. Talked about Paget's a little bit. And I think we talked about everything else in here. You've learned about rheumatoid. You told me that. Osteoestrogen, we don't need to do it enough. Okay? Sound good? Hey, we're on time. Great. Enjoy. Have fun in clinicals this week.
Oh, yeah. I'm good, how are you?
what I've heard. You guys are tired out.